This episode of Discover ADN is brought to you by Alpha Efficiency, a monthly productivity magazine that focuses on helping people like you live purposeful lives by exploring new tools, techniques, and productivity principles. They offer insights for purposeful living instead of canned systems, allowing you to use only the tips and techniques that work for you. Check out Alpha Efficiency in the Apple App Store or on their website at alphaefficiency.com/magazine. Welcome to episode 1 of Discover ADN. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. The goal of Discover ADN is to learn more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world, as well as offer us a chance to attach a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timelines. Want to be in the show or recommend someone you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to @discoveradn. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Benjamin Dorsey, who goes by his full name on app.net. He lives in the state of Minnesota and has a passion for law, politics, and the mechanisms that drive these two important, yet occasionally infuriating fields. I sat down with Benjamin last weekend to learn more about who he is and why he uses app.net. Thank you for joining me here today. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
I joined app.net. That is a very good question. If I recall correctly, it was about over a year ago. Not 2 years ago, but more than a year ago. Somewhere around there. I don't remember the exact date.
Okay. Well, the next logical question would be, why did you join?
Yes. When I first heard about app.net and the idea of paying for social media, and particularly the $60 a year or so price point, I sort of thought the idea sounded a bit crazy, and I didn't really pay a terrible amount of attention to it. And it was sort of moving on when you were able to pay by the month, $5 a month, which, as a law student, was a far more amenable way to pay for it. And the other motivation wasn't just that, but it was when Twitter began its API lockdown. You know, I never really used the official Twitter clients. Whenever I did use Twitter, I'm more of a Tweetbot person. And I was really not thrilled with the API lockdown and the token system, and sort of began to realize that a project like app.net could really be valuable because of the sort of obvious door-wide-open flexibility it gave to developers.
I completely agree. There's a lot to be said for an open network. My next question is about your handle. You use your full name on app.net. Can you tell us the logic behind this decision?
It is just something that I do. I do it on other social networking sites, except maybe dating sites, those that it doesn't seem appropriate in that venue. But the reason that I do is just because I have one identity as a person. I'm not particularly ashamed of, well, at least much of what I say online, and I just don't feel like I have anything to hide. Well, for the most part. I mean, my Facebook isn't public, for instance. But I'm not hard to find.
You say you're not that hard to find, but you have disappeared from app.net for several weeks at a time on numerous occasions.
Yes.
What do you do when you're not using app.net?
Well, until May of last year, I had law school. But what's kept me busy is I've had a very, 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 one might say, challenging year after law school. I did not take the bar exam immediately. And I am originally from a city called Lafayette in southern Louisiana. And I live up here by myself in St. Paul, Minnesota. So it's about 1,200 miles apart. If one were to drive between the two places, it would be 20 hours or so if you were not sleeping overnight, which you would be advised to do. So with that kind of distance from my family, I really have just been trying to find work sort of trying to support myself and just generally being extremely tired. Going from, also I'm still pursuing a master in public administration too. So those classes can take up a decent bit of my time when they're happening, although they're not happening right now.
That must make for a pretty hectic schedule. All right, let's change gears a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
I like to be known as someone who is articulate, someone who is political in the progressive sense, at least generally, someone who's pretty friendly, despite his introversion.
You've mentioned having a passion for law and politics on numerous occasions. Can you tell us what got you interested in these two very complex, very infuriating at times subjects?
I have had, since I was a child, I've had a sort of strange fascination with politics. And it developed through my teenage years and just kind of never stopped. Although my views changed. When I was a teenager, I was a Republican, which I look back now on and cringe at some of what I said. In fact, I cringe at a lot of what I said. Now I'm sort of in the opposite end of that. Here in the United States, anyway, I'm sure I'd be considered quite the centrist if I were in Europe or other parts of the world. But I enjoy the complicated nature of politics, and I enjoy the complicated tactical nature of American politics. And I, admittedly, even though particularly in American politics can be very infuriating, and there are some exceptional things about this country that are not so good, but I enjoy the idiosyncrasies of the things that are at least neutral. In terms of law, I love the idea of being able to change words and for those words to become flesh and change reality. It's really a heck of a thing, and it represents a heck of a lot of power in the hands of whoever is doing that.
Do you think that you will also one day run for office?
Yes, I do.
Well, I like your ambition. Where will you make your start? Will it be in a city or your states, or will you go right to federal?
Well, for someone to go right to federal, I think they'd really need to be a celebrity or something beforehand. I have a real passion for wanting to make things better here in St. Paul, a city which I feel is sort of this underdog compared to Minneapolis, which gets all the attention and the glory. But I think that St. Paul has a lot of its own charms, and we just need to work to unleash them. So I would really like to start here in the city and also here in the state. I am moving back to Louisiana for a few months to prepare for the bar, but once I find the sort of employment and opportunities I'm looking for, I will be back up here in Minnesota with a vengeance.
Why Minnesota? If your family lives in Louisiana, you'll still be pretty far from them.
Yes, and that is not fun. We are very close. The truth, though, is that, first off, I absolutely love living in Minnesota. I love this state. I have fallen in love with it. And if I had kids, I would want to raise them here. I see myself here for quite a long time. The other thing, and it's unfortunate, but Louisiana, and generally the South, the Southern United States, the political climate there is just not amenable. Not amenable nor favorable to me running for office, and hoping to be anything more than a city council person. My usefulness is very limited there. It's just too conservative.
Let me ask one last question with regards to politics. If you are in office, what is one thing that you hope you can accomplish in your time there?
Well, it depends on the office. I could say in general that I would hope to actually accomplish things, which I know sounds like a very perhaps simplistic, almost comical answer maybe in some regards. But if I say that I want to do something, for instance, if I want to help revitalize St. Paul, if I want to grow an help grow an economy, I want to actually have done something to make that happen. I want to go in with a plan, work with the plan, see who wants to work with it, go through whatever iterations it's going to go through, if it even happens at all, and try to get it done.
That sounds almost too reasonable. I'm not sure if you'll have a chance at getting into office with that kind of attitude.
Yes, I'm going to have to put a little more fire under the rhetoric than that, but I appreciate that.
Well, I can certainly appreciate that you want to make an area better. I think that if more people had a similar attitude, that the world would be a much better place. This doesn't mean that we all need to get into politics. It could be something as simple as taking the initiative to clean up a local park. But by making a positive change in the area around us, everybody will be better off.
I agree.
Well, I wish you luck in your future political endeavors. Let's move on now to the last part of the show, and this is when we get to recommend some of the people that we follow on app.net. And these people really add value to our experience. So unfortunately, we have to limit you to only three people, but if you could choose three, which three would you choose?
That is a very, very, very good question. And you were mentioning this before the show started, that the quality of the threads and the quality of a conversation is really, really, really striking. I would probably say that Berkley, and it's a B-E-R-K-L-E-E. He's around a lot. I think he's Dutch. And just sort of a life of a party. One of those people, and I think he was among the first people that I talked to when I got into the service, and just so friendly. You know, you'll meet people through him. He'll introduce you. He's nice and knows his stuff. And he just sort of seems to hold court very well when he's around. So that would be the first person. This is interesting. Phone Boy is spelled P-H-O-N-E-B-O-Y. He is a fan of the No Agenda podcast, of which I am a fan of. I don't always endorse the views of the hosts of the show, most certainly, but it's a lot of fun with their media deconstructions and stuff and such. He also is a very active conversationalist and is also very friendly. Also maybe good for a bit of a political argument or discussion. And I would also recommend Space Cat Gal. Once again, also a very active conversationalist. Her name is spelled S-P-A-C-E-K-A-T-G-A-L. Very, very active conversationalist. She's talking about things like gender issues when in the gaming industry, those sorts of things in general. Fun for fleshing out those sorts of denser topics. Although, certainly things that need to be talked about. And it was really one of those... I had an interesting experience. I'm a subscriber to the magazine, which Mark O'Armit had started. Now Glenn Fleischman owns it. And I read this really excellent piece about being a woman who owned a gaming company and sort of going through this development process. And then I found out it was her. It was And she was an app.net. I was able to tell her, hey, I love the P. And it was just one of those sorts of like cross-pollination things and just part of the sort of the serendipity that you could run into or experience in app.net, at least if you're around for it.
Thank you. Those are certainly some interesting people to follow. All right, so this brings us to the end of our show. I would like to once again thank you for taking the time to chat with me on this very first episode of Discover ADN, and I wish you success in your future political career.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you. It's been a pleasure.
This concludes the first episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I would like to thank Benjamin Dorsey for taking the time to talk with me. Show notes for today's episode can be found at discoveradn.tencenturies.com. And I would also like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Alpha Efficiency. Have a nice day!